No cold opening, go. Oh,
Hey,
God.
Jamie, could you look up Revival, a Dungeons and Dragons Real Play podcast?
Just said no cold opening.
Wait, I don't even get the reference. What was the reference?
It's a Joe Rogan meme.
Oh, for fuck. Yeah.
Who?
Is Joe. I have no idea who that is. And he's probably some political loser.
Yeah.
Not
Yeah.
really.
Probably.
Man. When's that podcast just going to turn into sudden unexpected fear factor, but in podcast form?
Is it the
You
same
can't
guy?
actually see anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, why the fuck does he still have a job doing anything?
Because he MMA
He's a
or
really big
whatever.
stand-up comic, like one of the
Yeah.
biggest.
Is he?
Yes,
Yes.
actually.
What the fuck?
Michael, you see? You're not in the dude brosphere.
I'm outside of the fucking normie sphere. What the hell has been going on?
He's the third most popular podcast in the world.
What?
Yeah.
I
Yeah, you didn't
assumed
know
that
this?
this Joe Rogan was a different Joe Rogan than Fear Factor Joe Rogan.
How do you not know about this, honestly?
Because I don't care.
The Joe Rogan podcast
I assume,
universe.
okay, but follow my logic here, because I assumed, and I think quite reasonably, that no one would hire that Joe Rogan to do anything.
Why?
Well,
What? You didn't
why?
see, like, all the weird shit that he got up to on Fear Factor?
No.
They hammed it up for the cameras.
No, not the actual content of the show. Wasn't there like a whole bunch of like he was being real creepy with people on Fear
No.
Factor?
No.
No?
I must be thinking of
In
somebody
fact, he
else.
would pay the interns to test out the stuff because he felt bad for them. Like he would get his own money, but yeah, dude, here's like 50 bucks. I'm sorry.
Here's $50. Eat
Are
this
you looking
scorpion.
into this right now?
Yes.
I've got no time to play D&D, guys, but let me look up Joe Rogan.
Speaking of not having time to play D&D, welcome to Revival, a Dungeons and Dragons real play podcast.
Holy shit, Tim sniped it for once.
Did I do it?
Yeah, that was a good one.
It was a good one.
All right, so Jerry fucked everything, right? Like, that's where we
Yeah.
were?
No,
Okay.
that
Kind
doesn't
of, not
describe the
really.
point of time. That could be any time. All right, so Jerry fucked it all up. What year is
Evergreen
it?
statement.
Very evergreen. So, anyways, you guys are holding tight until a care package or something from Red shows up. Is there anything that you're going to be attempting to do in the downtime?
Is it possible to Jerry-proof anything?
Depends on what you mean by that.
I mean, like, put, like, foam on the wall corners and stuff. You
I
know,
mean,
like
you
those
could.
little plastic covers on the sockets, just in case he tries to stick a fork in an outlet and teleport somewhere.
I mean, now this is just turning into bullying, and I will not allow this for too long.
Yeah, you'll allow it.
For
Shut
too
up.
long.
I'm gonna start writing a book called So You're Expecting a Jerry, and it'll be like one of those new parent help books.
I see. So, what are you actually doing?
I guess I'll check up on the students and make sure they're not fucking things up.
Okay. That was pretty quick. They aren't.
Cool. Good.
I think we described most of the stuff before Jerry disappeared, and we're just gonna probably keep doing those. Like Patton's still gonna keep messing with that with the crystals and shit, and conducting those experiments in the in that little car that we have, where he's
Okay.
trying different ways to extend how long I can go without mana.
So basically, what I was asking was, considering the revelation that there is now a like smear campaign going on with you guys, and also apparently civil unrest, is there anything in particular that you would like to do to address anything that not like, situations that have changed in the time that you have before this care package shows
Well,
up?
I assumed the care package was showing up rather quickly, and we didn't. I thought we were gonna go do whatever after it got here.
Well, we just did the whole John response video,
How
right?
many hours did I say? I think I said six.
Yeah, something like that's not that long.
It's been several weeks since we played. We went to freaking Las Vegas and back.
Yeah, I'm just saying,
Well,
like.
we just did our John response video to be like, hey, don't believe everything Michael
Don't believe
says.
on those
Okay.
lies.
Not everything he says.
Okay. So just move on up then.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything I can do.
Well, I do want to ask a question that maybe I should have asked earlier.
Yes.
Would Jerry have noticed any differences from how we teleported from Michael's hideout to here in comparison to when I was stopping time and like we were kind of jerry-rigging it and I saw that eye in the sky?
Yes. Give me an Arcana check there.
All right. That is a 23.
Okay. So, the jerry-rigged solution, quite literally, the time stoppage and then slipping through and all of that, that's a brute force, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not so much teleporting as you are breaking reality and moving through. Like, you're getting right into the back room that you're not supposed to be in. The teleportation that you guys were doing is all above, you know, above ground, right? Like, it's all by the books and it's clean. You're moving through space, but you're not breaking space.
So essentially what Jerry does is he breaks out of the network that Elias was referencing in the last teleport, right?
Or at least what you did then, yeah, when you saw all that nonsense, was kind of a, huh, this is some weird spot that we're not supposed to be in.
Okay. So I don't really want to try and recreate that, but
were you going to try and teleport again?
No, no. I was explicitly not going to do anything with that particular realm because it sounds bad.
What other particular realms?
John's going to lecture Jerry on the dangers of teleportation just in case.
But I just wanted to like make sure it was different types of teleporting.
Yes, that is actually a good idea to do. That was a smart thing to ask.
Weird.
Stop bullying.
Look, this is like the fifth time we've been dragged through some kind of interdimensional nonsense because of Jerry, okay?
All right. So while the characters are off doing their things, I guess...
I'm going to feed Specky some of those biscuits I made earlier.
They're very nice biscuits.
Made out of algae monster.
Oh, algae monster biscuits? They're terrible.
What? No, they're delicious.
No, they aren't.
For a short second, I thought you were talking about algae-flavored monster energy.
Yo. Shut up. Resume bullying. So...
Right.
So, anyway, you guys eventually spot and hear a small object flying through the sky at a pretty high clip coming straight towards you.
I'm going to roll perception to see if Emily is hanging off the edge of it.
Sure.
Like 90% sure Emily's going to be steering this thing. That is a very high number. Hold on. 29.
29, yes.
I knew it.
So what you see is a large adult red wyvern.
Wait, like the kind what I just killed?
Yes. In its claws, you see a large locked metal strong box, like a... kind of like a safe almost.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting on top of that is Emily.
I'm going to wave to Emily. Because I assume we've gone outside, so because, you know, I could probably hear a fucking wyvern.
Yes.
I'm going to probably actually go to the front of the truck and just kind of untie the wyvern skull and kind of move it off to the side so maybe it doesn't see it right away.
Put it under the truck.
Good idea.
I don't know how they react to that, but they're smart.
So it's up about, you know, 300-ish feet or so. Flying pretty high. And as it gets roughly above your truck, it is going to let go of this very heavy safe. You're then going to see it fly and then just sort of fly into a very quick little rift, and then it's gone.
A rift?
Yes.
Since when can Emily open rifts?
She's clearly not the one doing it.
I mean, you don't know that.
So, it starts falling. She starts falling. She pulls a little cord, little parachute.
Excellent.
And then, wham! Impacts straight into the ground, and Emily drifts down.
Alright, so let's saunter on up to this box and check out what's inside.
So you're walking up to the box?
Correct.
Yeah.
That seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Why are you saying right. that ominously? This is a package we're expecting.
Is it?
Yes.
Yes.
Explicitly. So you walk up to the box, and what are you gonna do? You gonna try and open it?
Yeah, I'm gonna look for it. It should have like a key, right? Wait, Emily's
no,
probably got
it's got
key.
Like a handle.
Oh, is it? Does it appear to be locked?
Yes.
So I will jiggle the handle, and if it's locked, I'll wait for Emily to come
okay.
down.
When you go, you jiggle the handle, and Emily trots over, just like smacks your hand, smack, smack, smack.
Okay, I will take a step back.
Looks at you, produces a key, and very ceremoniously opens it and looks kind of upset.
Oh, because I wasn't supposed to touch it?
Nah, it looks more like I wanted to do that.
Oh, okay. It's like taking the film off of new electronics.
Pretty much.
Alright, so the box opens. I roll to look at the loot table to see what's in the box.
Shut up.
Hope it's a +2 dagger.
Funny you should mention that, because, Emily is going to shoo you back a bit.
Okay.
And is going to reach in and, pull out and throw behind her a dagger.
Is it a +2 dagger?
Kind of.
Who is this dagger for? Does it seem like...
It's currently in the air.
I'm gonna catch it.
Okay. You catch the dagger, right?
Wow. Yeah.
First thing that you notice about this...
I don't
this,
have to roll to do that?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's something that you can very enough. Easily do. So, this is a very clearly ancient and ominous-looking blade. It's covered in these sort of dark black and gold runes with this crimson vein running down the blade. Like,
so this
running
is
down
straight
the side,
up,
it's all jaggedy, looks to be made of some sort of, like, obsidian of some kind.
Mr. Krabs, I've got an idea.
As you move it around, or as you pick it up,
mm-hmm.
and you feel and see, when you move it, the air cuts, and it stays cut for a bit.
Oh, it's opening, like, portals and shit?
Something like that.
Oh, cool. I'm gonna not make
that.
More cuts.
Okay.
Does it appear, like... Who does this appear to be intended for? Is there, like, a tag on it?
There is not.
Am I?
Don't give it to Jerry.
No, well, of course I'm not going to give it to Jerry, John.
I can already open my own portals.
No,
I
you
think.
Can't.
You don't know that.
Okay, so you said it, like, cuts the air a little bit?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to cut a quick circle, actually. Like, just a circle
okay.
in the air. Like,
you cut a quick
connect
circle
end
in the
to
air,
end.
And it forms, you see the circle of air around it sort of start to fizzle and fade, and then it collapses, and nothing forms.
So it's just a little...
Yeah. Seems like you didn't do that right.
Hmm. This time I'm going to steady my hand, and then I'm going to have Specky extend a tendril and trace the line of the circle as I do it.
Okay.
I'm going to look over Emily's shoulder into the box.
Okay. So, first up, you're going to have Specky try to trace that,
yeah,
right?
just, you know, probe it.
So, you do that, and Specky's tendril just gets pushed back when the circle forms.
Hmm.
And Specky looks disconcerted and gets kind of like one of those full-body shivers.
Puffs up.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna put the dagger in a pouch or in a sheath if it has one and put that in the maybe use this later category.
Okay, so next up, you see Emily is rummaging around. John looks over her shoulder, right? there's a couple of wrapped packages. She notices you looking over the shoulder and tries to push you back.
But John is big and Emily is small. There is no way.
Yes.
Mm.
It's not working in the slightest.
You should probably move back because you're going to get stabbed.
What you got up here, Emily?
So she's going to pull out a small glass case filled with 10 ornate vials of some form of liquid that she's going to dust herself off, hold, like, waiter style, underhand, look around, look over to Patton.
Ooh.
Walk over, hold it up.
All right, I'll take one of these vials and kind of shake it while I look at it.
So, this one does have a note.
Do not shake.
That's there, but it also just says, anti-venom.
We'll probably need this. I'm going to shake it again.
Hmm.
It turns, so it's this sort of, like, dark, purplish, cloudy liquid. And when you shake it, it starts to glow a bit.
All right. So these are just real thin vials. There's 10 of them, you said?
Yes. Next up, there is a twine wrapped package with some, like, just brown paper wrapping that she's going to walk over, grab, and in the same fashion present to Elias.
Okay. I will take out the dagger and open the brown paper package.
Oh, you're going to open the package with the dagger?
I mean, that's probably not that terrible of an idea.
Okay.
I want to see how this thing works.
Okay.
I want to see what it... Well, it's just packaging. I want to see, like, will it actually touch the packaging? Will it open the air around the packaging? How does it interact with physical items?
So you touch the packaging with the blade, and the blade immediately sinks into it.
Okay.
Like, quickly, to the hilt.
That's not good.
To the point where it should have come out the other side, but it doesn't.
I'm going to pull the blade back out.
There is no damage to the packaging.
I'm going to put the blade back in the...
Emily is going to smack at your arm, shake head.
Oh, okay. I'm going to put the dagger back in its sheath and just open the package normally.
Okay, so you open the package normally, and attached on the inside is a note that just reads, "When you're going home, you should probably look nice." And you see a very, very classically styled, fairly ornate and expensive-looking elven chainmail shirt.
I don't like this sort of stuff. But
no, you do not. But it's both functional and kind of ceremonial and nice.
Are there...
This is sort of like formal attire.
Yeah, are there any bits of ornamentation that look like they're just ornamentation?
There's some amount of filigree and stuff, but you're well aware that if you were to break that off, it would also, like, you really can't break it without breaking the enchantment, which is kind of what makes it good. So, this is actually, first thing that we're going to give you the stats for, this is a level 9.
Oh, fuck.
Wondrous item.
Oh, fuck.
Elven chain shirt. Property, you gain a +1 item bonus to AC while wearing this shirt with light armor or no armor.
Oh shit, wait, that
so
makes
it's basically
my AC
just a flat 1 AC buff.
Dank as hell.
Yes, cool. It does.
Wait, does it have like a daily item thing or anything?
Nope, that's it. It's just a +1 item bonus to AC that doesn't need an item slot, really.
Okay, so I'll make a note of that. I don't have the builder open right now. I just remember that my AC is 23 now.
Yep.
Nice. I guess I'll put it on.
You put it on, it is absolutely perfectly tailored for you.
I know, and it's obnoxious that that's true.
Looking very dapper,
it really
Elias.
Accentuates the slender elven form. Makes you look all woodsy.
Yeah, you know why? It's like, okay, imagine if you got a pair of boots and you put them on and they felt like they had already been broken in and you didn't get the chance to, like, break in your new pair of boots. It's like that. It's awful.
Yeah. Yeah, everything just fits perfectly. It's great.
What a pain in the ass. It's like, no, it's like when your mom takes you to Olive Garden when you're six and she makes you put on the nice shirt.
Right.
And everyone compliments you. Oh, you look so nice in your nice shirt. No, I don't want to wear the nice shirt.
Come on, Elias, but you look nice.
I want to wear my silk Dragon Ball Z with flames at the bottom t-shirt when I go to CC's Pizza, Mom.
Real talk, I had a Guy Fieri flames t-shirt, like, when I was
nine. I remember.
I had one that had Goku, Gohan, and Vegeta on it with the Guy Fieri flames.
I wish I had that t-shirt.
Spicy. He was the coolest out of all of us in third grade.
It was third grade exactly, actually.
Okay, so the next thing up is the last thing, which she's going to walk out and she's going to pull out a empty glass, like, potion vial, right? Like a flask. It's roughly flask-shaped, you know, like pocket flask, like breast pocket flask. It's empty. It has a golden cap with this sort of spider web looking black gemstone like filigree on it, and some swirly ornamental glasswork done on the actual flask itself. And she's going to bring it out very carefully, gingerly, and hold it up to Patton.
Wait, why does Patton get two things?
The one thing was anti-venom. That's not a Patton thing. That's an everyone thing.
Man, I hope not.
It's just like Patton's the doctor.
Yeah.
This is like Christmas when your brother gets, like, one more gift than you.
We are digging deep into you now, Michael.
Just saying. Also, it occurs to me that this dagger is probably for Jerry, but I really kind of don't want to give it to him.
Oh, it occurred to me, too. I'm just not doing anything about it, because I think part of Red's on that. I don't really know if I want to do that.
Is the dagger statted up, actually, like, for Jerry? Metagame? Pure metagame?
No.
Oh, okay.
It isn't statted up for anyone.
That's just even more ominous.
Well, I feel more comfortable with Elias than I do with Jerry having some weird air-cutting dagger.
Okay, so she's holding out the flask to you, but she's holding it with, like, you know, two fingers and a thumb at the very edge, and is, like, handing it to you.
All right. I'll grab it by the middle. I won't yank it, because that'd be mean. Yeah. But I'll grab it around
the
middle,
second,
and then
the second you grab
it,
she's going to rip her hand away and, like, jump back three steps.
I'm going to unscrew it and see what's inside.
Okay, you unscrew it.
Oh, Jesus.
No.
The first thing you do is unscrew it?
Jerry's taking cover.
Nothing happens.
All right. I'm going to wave my hand towards me to see if I can smell what's in there. Not put my head over it, because that'd
be
irresponsible.
You know that you're not supposed to do that, right?
Also, is everybody just dead silent in character?
I mean, I assumed this was all happening relatively quickly.
Nah.
Jerry just dove behind a tree.
Well,
okay.
I mean, I don't really have anything to say about this.
Yeah, that's right, elf boy.
I'm just going to watch.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to yell out in Draconic to Emily.
Okay.
Hey, is that thing dangerous? Should I be worried?
She's going to look over at you, kind of like a, oh, hey, that guy can speak Draconic. And then not make any attempt to communicate.
I agree.
It's just, huh, he can speak Draconic. That's interesting. Anyway. So, right as you're saying that, though, you guys all see, just from, what's the most obvious, where on your mask could a viscous dark liquid come from?
I'm not gonna answer that. Probably the eye holes or like the perforated tip where I've got like the plant stuff.
Don't say perforated.
Okay, black viscous liquid is coming out of both of those from Patton's face and filling the flask.
Hmm.
Oh, so the flask was empty until this stuff started spewing into it?
Yes.
Is it like, when you say spewing into it, do you mean that this liquid is drawn into the flask and none of it's going Correct. Anywhere else?
It's Correct. Like going down my mask to the tip of like the beak and then
yes, it's this all happens very quickly.
Did we just put Patton's soul in a flask?
Kind of.
Huh.
Emily, is this some kind of phylactery?
So she's gonna look at it. Also, this was very uncomfortable. And something that you notice immediately, instantaneously, is it's very hard to pinpoint, but some of those extra memories that you have aren't there anymore.
Oh. Now this is interesting. I can do some fun stuff with this.
So, Emily is going to go back to the chest, pull out a small glass eyedropper with the same, like, the same general build and look to it, and hold it up to you and hold up one finger.
Oh, this means that he could give us, like, the benefits of memory of 1,000 lifetimes. Maybe.
Wrong.
Oh.
Wrong, idiot.
I wonder if I could get a horrible, horrible headache to someone with this thing, just shoot him with it. Get a bomb, just blast them with like a million memories at once and disorient them super okay. hardcore.
So, are you going to inspect this?
Of course.
Okay, give me an Arcana check then.
You got it. That's 23.
So, on a 23, you're going to get a rough idea of what this is, and that's going to be enough for me to tell you explicitly what it is, which is a level 10 wondrous item called Flask of the Veiled Horde.
I don't like that.
I like that.
Ooh.
That sounds exciting.
So, what you can tell is, you look at it, and the liquid inside of the flask starts to move and shift and occasionally separate. More than that, though, it seems like it's drawn to that little eyedropper, and you feel like you have control over this.
Oh, it's Cybermen.
Yes, actually.
Ooh.
So, power, daily, minor action, effect, you pour a mote of darkness from the flask to create a shadow creature that obeys your spoken commands and is allied with you and your allies. This creature appears adjacent to you and takes its turn on your initiative count according to commands you give it. Commanding it is a free action, so it has its own move minor standard.
What?
If you don't command the creature, it takes no actions, the creature disappears at the end of the encounter.
Wait, has he actually summoned one of these beasts yet? Like, did he actually do a drop? Okay.
Not yet. It's got an attack that doesn't... Basically, it's a minion, is what it is. It's not like a full summon because it's not that good. It's just, it's like you get to summon a minion. And it has one hit point because it's a minion.
Nice.
But it blows up when it dies.
Uh-oh.
It is the Flask of the Veiled Horde.
Okay, gotcha.
So, in character, would you like to attempt to drop a drop?
Well, what I was going to do is I was going to stick a syringe in there and shloop up a small amount and see if I can load it into the crossbow and shoot it a small distance away.
Okay, you try to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the liquid actually, like, when you bring it out and you slot it into one of your syringes and stick it into the crossbow, the liquid breaks the glass and just sucks right back into the flask.
Ah.
Looks like it's one of those memes.
All right, then I'll, I'll stick my hand out really far and dip.
Yeah, you have to use that little eyedropper. It seems to be like, you know, they're paired. So you mm-hmm. stick one of those things in there, you drop it, and immediately you see a shadowy figure, roughly humanoid in shape, roughly about your height, just shadowy, inky darkness. It's got two eyes, they're just white dots, as it looks around, looks over at you, tilts its head slightly, looks up, and then just stares vacantly into the distance.
So it's this real tall, lanky-looking humanoid, dark, shadowy thing?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's good. I'm glad I have this.
The outlines of it are kind of frayed and, like, faintly glowing.
What happens when I grab its arm?
You grab its arm? It's solid.
Okay. Does it react?
It looks down at your hand. It looks confused. And then it grabs your arm, but the opposite arm.
All right, I'm going to shake his hand and see what he does. See if he shakes my other hand.
It shakes your other hand.
Dr. Patton Normstrom, happy to meet you.
Wow, that's great.
Jerry's eyes at this point are saucers. Zep, I thought we were the ones that did the really dark, fucked up shit. But
I'm
going to
go
that's
ahead
really,
and
really cool.
See if this
I like
thing
that
is connected to the natural plane at all.
Okay, you're going to try and identify it?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, that's some not mana right there.
Oh, it's like a, you know, like a void where
yeah
everything should be. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and take, like, half step back and, you know, kind of push Specky back, too.
Specky looks very interested.
I'm going to swat Specky's tendrils away from that thing. No.
Specky's tendril is move. It, like, you put your hand at the block and it just splits the tendril and moves its hand out further.
It's like that cat with the croissant.
Yes.
You cannot.
I wouldn't necessarily feel like any passive effect from being this close to, like, anti-mana, right?
Not really.
Okay, cool. Just gotta stay safe.
So how much of the goo was, like, in that? Will, like, the goo, like, seep out of me when I open it up? Or what did it, like, fill up to the top and then stop?
Filled up to the top and then stopped.
Okay. Once I use a bunch, I'll have to see if I can do it again, or if I need to be more conservative with it.
It looks like there's plenty in there.
And is this guy here, is he still looking, like, just fine and dandy? Like, or is he gonna, like, is he starting to, like, fade out? Like, I don't know if he's just here with us now and we gotta deal with him here.
He looks like he's doing okay for right now, but, you know, a couple more seconds pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
He looks down, he lets go of your hands, and walks over about 10 feet, and is just going to, look over back at you, and is gonna blow up.
Oh, jeez.
Look at him go.
I'll have to do that again.
That sure was mighty odd.
It blows up into this sort of, dark, you know, purplish, you know, like, void explosion. Like, just a circular cavitation.
Just okay, so wait. Okay. I didn't know if you meant, like, it exploded and, like, sent stuff flying everywhere.
Nah.
Okay. Probably wouldn't have been good to be near him when he exploded, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it goes for any kind of explosion.
You got that. The only question mark left is the knife.
I shall call them Dr. Patton's puppet pals.
Fantastic. So, also, the anti-venom is Paragon tier anti-venom, which you can find in alchemical items. And it's, you know, level 11 alchemical item. Power consumable, minor action, gain a +2 bonus to saving throws against poisons from a source of 20th level or lower. This effect lasts until the end of the encounter or for the next 5 minutes.
Cool. We got 10 doses.
Yep.
I'll have to see if I might be able to make, once we start getting low, I'll have to see if I can start making my own based off these.
Yeah. So, Emily's going to look around, look around, look around, look over at Elias, look at the shirt.
Yes.
Just gonna pat on the shirt.
I'm going to just
nod. Like,
okay.
So, as you look down at that, you can see her hand just reaching out for the dagger.
Oh, she wants the dagger?
Yes, but is trying to, is just kind of like, that's a nice chainmail vest right there, and is just reaching for the dagger while attempting to distract you.
I'm just gonna kind of move her hand away from the dagger and, like, just lift it up in the air where she can't reach it.
Just gonna look up at you like, please?
But isn't this part of the, is this not part of what Red was sending to us?
Nods.
And you want it instead?
Shakes head.
Did you want me to give it to Jerry?
Vigorously shakes head.
Did you want me to give it to John?
Shakes head slightly less vigorously.
Patton?
Come on, Elias, give it the dagger.
Shakes head.
Oh, did you want to show me how to use it?
Nods head.
Oh, okay. Well, I am rather unaware as to how to use this, so sure. I don't see why that would hurt.
Grabs
anything.
Dagger immediately.
Oh, okay.
So she's going to pull it out of the sheath, it, like, trot over to the road train.
If we have to start tracing pentagrams in the air with this thing, I'm going to be very concerned.
So she's going to run over to the side of the road train, stab the dagger into the side of it, pull down.
Okay.
Then horizontal, then vertical, then across again. And then you're going to see a small little, like, shadowy, phantasmal doorknob appear. And she's going to open it, jump inside, shut it, and the door disappears.
Along with Emily?
Yes.
And the dagger.
Well, there we go.
Yes.
Well, great. Now, before you guys say anything, she gestured that she was going to show me how to use the dagger. I assumed I would get it back.
Well, we know how to use it now.
Yes, well, that seems apparent. I'm not really sure what to do. I don't know if we should wait to see if she comes back or if we've just been robbed of a gift.
We've been bamboozled.
I'm just upset I didn't get a gift.
Well, same, John. I don't feel loved.
So, you're going to see the door handle reappear. She's going to open it and just kind of motion, like a little, come here.
I'll walk over.
She's going to tap the floor of darkness.
Mm-hmm. You just want me to walk inside the door?
Apparently.
You know, fuck it. let's go into the scream hole.
I want to walk through the scary door.
All right, John. Actually, yeah. Why don't you come with me, John?
Now, Zep, isn't this what he tells us?
Jerry, you stay over there.
Like, he's doing that explicit thing he always yells at me about, isn't he?
No, yes.
He's doing that explicit thing he always yells at you about.
Yes, I yell at you about. It's different when I do it.
It's okay when we do it.
There's different rules here.
Emily nods her head. Closes eyes, nod head.
I'm gonna walk through the door with John.
Okay, you guys walk through the door. Emily slams the door. On the inside, you see a small, little kobold-sized nice chair. Blank walls. It's just kind of like white. The floor is solid. You can see it almost looks like marble, like white marble with little streaks of moving, like, black. Or, like, if you inverted the colors on a night sky.
Okay.
Right? And all the stars were moving around?
Yeah.
It looks to be roughly big enough for about, you know, four people to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
The ceiling is fairly high. Or no, it's actually much bigger than that. It's 4x4x4 in terms of squares, so...
That's really big.
20 feet by 20 feet?
Yeah. That's like a house.
Yeah, it's roughly house size. Like, small apartment size. Also, as you guys turn and see around you, you can see outside of it.
That's weird.
Oh, so it's literally fourth dimensional then.
If you focus a little bit, you can see everything around you where you would be.
Wait, does it occupy space or?
Kind of.
But I could go out in a different spot.
No.
You can only go out through the door. Okay. And I assume that the dagger forms the handle?
Yes.
And there's the only thing that's in here is that chair, right?
Yes.
Does the chair have cushions? Does the chair have cushions?
It has a cushion.
I'm going to look under the cushion.
Emily is sitting on the chair, on the cushion.
I'm going to lift up the cushion with Emily on it.
Emily seems upset about this.
Is there anything underneath this cushion?
There is not.
What about inside of the cushion?
Inside the cushion. That's a good point. Because Emily hides stuff all the time. Emily is just
smacking the top of your head with her hand.
All right, I'll put it down. And I'll ask Emily if I get to keep the chair with the room or if she wants to take it out.
She looks down at it, grabs the cushion, holds it up to you, but like looks sad about it.
No, I don't necessarily want it. I'm just concerned as to why.
Emily breathes out, grabs chair.
Oh, okay. She's gonna take the chair out of the room.
Yes.
I'm gonna find out later there's like fucking solid gold bullion in the cushion. Alright, well I think I've got a handle on how this whole portal room thing works.
Yes, which is enough for me to tell you what it is, which is a very high level item. Higher level than I'm technically supposed to give you, but it seemed to fit. This is a level 12
Jesus.
Wondrous item. It is called an Exodus Knife. Power daily, standard action. When you use the Exodus Knife to trace a doorway onto a solid object, it opens a portal into an empty extra-dimensional space, 4 squares wide, 4 squares high, and 4 squares long. While the door is open, anyone can enter, see into, or affect the extra-dimensional space. Only creatures inside the space can open or close the door. Once closed, the door becomes invisible to anyone outside the extra-dimensional space. Creatures on the inside of the closed door can see out, but those outside can't see in. Creatures on one side of the closed door cannot affect creatures on the other side. The extra-dimensional space lasts for 8 hours. Any creature still in the space when the effect ends reappear in the closest unoccupied squares outside the door.
Oh, I can think of some things to do with this.
Ooh,
even in combat, actually.
Yikes.
Now,
it is kind of just a fuck, get us out of here.
Well, but how does that work in combat, though? So, like, if we were in combat...
I would count that as fair escape, assuming that the enemy does not know how the knife works.
No, not necessarily fair escape, but, like, what if I grabbed somebody and shoved them in there?
They would be able to leave.
No, I mean, like, and I went in there with them and killed them.
Then you would have successfully thrown them into an area and then killed them.
Awesome. Sounds great. I'm going to do all sorts of murders now.
So, like, 1v1, like, it cuts a hole into anything. You can see, like the fucking Faust intro.
It has to be a solid object.
Yeah, it has to be a solid object.
So, like, the ground?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
If I kick someone into that and they can't jump 4 squares
high... No, they can
high,
open it.
No, it probably gets all fucky with gravity in there.
But what if we put
chair
in front of
the door? Oh, yeah, the floor is always the floor.
Mm.
What happens if we open up, like, 3 different doors, like, right next to each other?
To daily.
Oh. I mean, I could recharge daily. Like, 2.
No, because there's still only 1 dagger.
You'd have 2 doors that go to the same room.
No, you wouldn't have 2 doors because there's only 1 dagger. When you take the dagger off of the door, the thing closes. You could open up another one, but it would...
The dagger forms the handle. You can't actually remove the dagger.
Removing the dagger closes the room.
Yes. There isn't actually explicit rules text to say that you can close it early.
Yeah, but like half a second of thinking goes like, how the fuck else would this work?
I last for 8 hours.
That's stupid.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, no cheese, my dudes.
I mean, I'll find a way to cheese it.
Right.
second dagger.
All right, I'm going to hang on to this. I'm not going to let Jerry have this.
I'm going to agree.
Now, actually, before we leave this room, what's the mana situation like in there?
Totally fine.
But is it different than outside?
Eh, not noticeably, or not really, but yeah, fine.
Well, because my thinking here is, like, let's imagine that we're in the middle of a mana dead zone. If I open the door, will the room have mana in it?
So, from what you can tell, considering that there was already a chair in here,
mm-hmm.
is that the area itself is constant.
And it's getting mana from
probably
somewhere.
You could probably extrapolate that however much mana is in there when you close it is however much will be in there the next time you open it.
And this is a this thing is like 20 by 20, right?
Yeah.
I'm moving my fucking lab in there.
Hope you like getting kicked out of your lab every 8 hours.
I mean, I can make another lab. I'll make the
maybe setting up a secondary lab in here.
I mean, if the space is constant, right?
Yeah.
That means I can just have, like, the interns can just live in there.
But it disappears after 8 hours.
Yeah, they get kicked out after 8 hours into a random position.
Oh, only living things get kicked out, so...
Any creatures still in the space when the effect ends reappear in the closest unoccupied squares outside the door.
It says so right there.
Do plants count as creatures?
No.
So let's say that someone in the party, probably me, creates a big old bomb, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we set it to go off in 5 minutes, and then we all get in the hidey hole and then come out after an hour.
You'd be fine. Yeah, that would work.
Oh, cool. We are going to blow so much stuff up, Elias.
I mean, thinking about this, Elias is like honestly pretty pumped. It sounds rad.
So I'm assuming that we're going to blow up so much shit Elias is in character.
And Elias stops for a second, thinks and kind of goes like, hey, yeah, we could definitely do something like that. I mean, this opens all sorts of possibilities in terms of safety during experimentation.
And if you wanted to like sedate an exotic aggressive animal, you just throw it in there for a few hours then go get it.
It's also a very good point, Jerry. Thank you.
Imagine that.
So, it's around this time that you're going to get a little call on the radio.
Mm-hmm. I'll answer that.
I trust you got everything okay?
Yes. I don't think Emily stole anything.
Of course she didn't.
Well, I mean,
sorry, are you insinuating something?
Yes.
Well, you would be right, but I still don't appreciate it.
This laughing isn't in character, but, like, yes. Of course, what I mean to say is that she didn't attempt any, well, nothing serious, anyway. It's all here.
That's reassuring to hear. Be very, very careful with the blade.
The dagger?
Yes.
Well, we had
it's
some
older
ideas.
Than I am.
Oh, right.
I trust you understand that that means I'm not taking this lightly.
Well, yes, thinking back to our previous, conversation, I sort of caught your meaning.
Right. Be very careful with it.
Will not be
also,
a problem.
Also, you're going to need those anti-venom.
I'm sorry?
You're going to need those anti-venom.
I should certainly hope not, but if you have anything that you'd like to warn us about that's coming on the horizon...
Yes, actually. You said that you were going to attempt to get something from your kinsfolk, correct?
Insofar as they would... perhaps allow us to? Yes. We do have a guide of sorts who happens to be more in tune with the natural aspect of... Well, I don't need to elaborate, but in any case, it shouldn't be a problem. We're heading towards...
I don't want to make any grand statements since my intelligence is dated. but you'll need that anti-venom.
Right.
Ominous.
Right then. Well, we already dealt with some rather large spiders before. But...
I don't know if these are driders. I don't know if they're from... I don't know if they're hangers-on from the Underdark. I don't know what they are. All I know is they say nothing moves in the White Woods.
Oh, I really wasn't looking forward to hearing about anything from the Underdark and anything involving driders, but I suppose that...
I'm not entirely sure that they are. In fact, I'm fairly certain that they aren't, which is worse.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Anyway, the shirt is for appearances. The anti-venom is so you don't die.
Understood.
Also, I can tell that you're thinking of doing something clever and potentially extremely dangerous with the knife.
Well...
Right?
I wouldn't...
It will work exactly the way you think, and is about as fun as you would think.
I can tell that you've given this some thought, so, well, I'll just...
Oh, much.
I'll just, leave that up to, our mutual imagination.
Just so you know, if you throw somebody in there, or anything, they can get out. You can't trap somebody in there.
Ah,
but
well,
I could trap someone in there.
Or if we put a chair against it, then they can't open it.
No, they can still open it. There's some form of force that allows whatever is in there to escape.
Well, I'm sure I'll think of something.
Could put a John in
however,
the door.
Trapping yourself in there is quite effective.
Well, that was more on the,
And also, if people are particularly stupid, they'll think that you've teleported.
That is also something that
they
we
generally tend to just leave.
We could easily make a smoke bomb and then anything that's solid, yeah, the ground.
That was one of my first
piece
ideas.
Of paper.
Boring but effective.
You also just like cut a hole in the wall and walk through it. That looks pretty cool.
Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. There's one entrance and one exit.
What if you put the door on something that's moving?
What if we had two big rocks and we pushed them together?
Regarding the first, it does and does not move. So
the door would move, but they would be coming out at the same spot, right?
Correct.
So what if there's like a hydraulic press? Would they just pop out outside of whatever's blocking their spot?
Yes. Precisely. I also once thought, I'm not entirely proud of it, well, I kind of am, of cutting a hole into a large boulder, putting someone in there, and then throwing the boulder into the bottom of a lake.
Yeah, to let them open the door into the bottom of the lake.
Hilarious!
That sounds terrible.
I assume it would actually make a rather large air bubble as all of the air escaped.
No,
the water
they just pop out where you put them in.
Oh, well, that's significantly less fun.
So right. What if you put them in and then cover the area and then put the rock there?
They pop out outside of the area.
But how far outside?
As far as is needed to guarantee their safety. Believe me, I've tried.
I don't like the
sound
of any of this.
We might be able to sneak our way into areas we're not supposed to be in if we do that.
I wouldn't.
You would think, but you would find it's entirely uncontrollable.
It won't choose by default the closest one. It might kind of choose any general area nearby.
No, it will choose the closest in general. However,
I'm thinking like, say we're in an underground bunker, and we know that there's a building on the other side.
Hang on, let me get a piece of paper real quick. Go on.
So we're in this. It's think of it like a we're in this area, and to the left of us is the big. Yes. It's a giant pile of gold. We want to get in there.
Yes. Yes.
And we enter the hallway next to there, and then we just fill the hallway with stuff. And then we enter in, come out, would we get pushed into the gold room?
No.
What if we had three of us go in there, and then the other one's covered up the area with rocks and things like that. And then with the one, then we come out, would we get pushed over there?
You would enter in the furthest place closest to where you came, where there are no rocks.
Oh, so it wouldn't go through.
Correct.
I think you're overthinking this, Patton.
So if the door was 1 foot
I'm sure
thickness.
We'll have time to discuss the minutiae at a later date.
Yeah, we'll think of a plan.
I have attempted what you're describing, and while occasionally in rare instances successful, I often found the amount of work needed in order to do this would have been better suited in just breaking down the door.
With a big explosion, maybe.
Oh, it's very useful for that.
I like the stagger.
I'm glad you like it.
Yes, well, in terms of the sheath, it did come with a sheath, right?
Yes.
I assume the sheath is immune from the...
Obsidian, same general look.
I assume the sheath is immune to the effects?
Oh, the sheath is part of the blade.
Ah.
Kind of. The sheath disappears when you make the door, and it reforges itself into part of the handle.
Ah.
Or the doorknob. Yes, very strange.
It seems quite straightforward. I'm sure we'll find use for it. I guess our next step is to move on towards the, I believe it was the Redwood Forest?
Yes.
So,
if I remember correctly, that's what you told me your destination was?
Yes, we are in the final stages of collecting that crystal that we need.
Take good care of that blade. It means quite a lot to me.
Yes, I won't let it out of my sight.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a return trip to plan.
Yes.
Emily hasn't run off on her own already, has she?
Oh, she's quite well gone. She took the chair that was in the room.
Well, it is her chair.
Yes, I asked her if she wanted to keep it, and she seemed quite intent on doing so.
So, if you look around a bit, you can see the parachute off in the distance is hooked up to that chair.
Is it a paramotor now?
Yes.
Fantastic.
There is some form of little magical device attached to the back generating some form of wind. And you see two little handles and Emily is flying off.
Fantastic. I believe Emily
is... This seems to be why she didn't want to give you the chair.
Makes sense. I'm going to go check the kitchen to make sure we're not missing a bunch of food.
Oh, you are.
Damn it. All right. I guess, well, I suppose we should get going. Let's collect everyone. And I'm going to just make this abundantly clear from the get-go. No one is touching this dagger except for me. And it's going to stay on my person.
Oh, can I use it sometimes?
Yes, John, you can use it sometimes.
Okay, that sounds good.
We each get our own share of the dagger every 4 hours, then after 2 ones, it has to go on a break for 4 hours.
Is this a character, Patton?
I mean, maybe.
So you're going to see, you're going to hear a couple of loud clangs and the sound of a massive hammer hitting the ground. Brother, it seems that there's a large amount of food missing. Wow, you look nice. What's the occasion?
If you can't imagine this is Elias, you know, doing the rubbing the bridge of your nose thing.
You're very spiffy, Elias.
This is his Olive Garden trait.
Fits. That is a much better look on you than the normal thing.
I'm going to button honestly. My jacket so that it's not showing anymore. Yes, well, it was part of the supply package from Red. I'm sure it will come in handy.
From Red?
Yes, from Red.
How did he get that?
Get what?
What you're currently wearing.
I did not think to ask.
All right.
I assume he either bought it or had someone collect it. I don't know, Red just seems to have a lot of things.
No, that's old.
Yes, well, he also gave us a, well, it's not important.
So she's going to look concerned? And then kind of look down?
In any case,
looks nice.
I'm sorry, is there something about this, shirt or, I'm not sure, I forget the proper name. What do we call these again? Raiment that I should know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to accuse him of anything, but I think the previous owner of that wouldn't have given it to him.
Yes,
oh, no. Willingly.
I would assume probably not, but, desperate times. And, whatever happened in the past is likely long in the past.
Right.
Given the relative age of Red and many of the things that he owns, could have been legitimately claimed or not so legitimately claimed. We really have no way of knowing, and I wouldn't let it impact the inevitable meeting that we're going to have where we'll need to use it.
Right. I was actually going to say something about that, but it looks like that's taken care of.
About the meeting, or...
Yes. Yeah, that.
Why don't you tell me a little bit more about that anyway?
Oh, all I was going to say was, well, as, you know, as the Grand Matron showing up with a fellow elf not in proper attire would be, well... And she kind of looks at you.
Yes, I'm well aware of custom and pomp and circumstance required by these meetings. While it wasn't my original intention, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Now, it's not all just pointless finery.
Now you say that, but I'm pretty sure a large amount of this ornamentation could have been done much more simply and without nearly so much cost.
That's not the point.
And the point would be...
The point is... And she's going to look over at it. Look over at the symbols. This can be traced back to an elven house from... I don't even know how long ago. Your ancestors' memories, their customs, their way of life... All of that is shown through this shirt.
And what did those ancestors and memories and ways of life do when we found this place? What did they do to me when I was growing up?
Well, I can't speak to your...
They turned their back on me. These symbols...
I can't speak to your exact
This ornamentation,
family.
It's a symbol of an era gone by. It's a symbol of willing ignorance and the inability to adapt to new information.
You say that, but we've adapted.
You have adapted. Bring the rest of them here. Bring the rest of the clans to this place. See how long they
That's
adapt.
That's what we're doing.
Go to New York.
That's what we're going to do right now.
Look at the university they've built. There isn't a stone out of place. There isn't a tree that wasn't there. In the old plane.
They live in them, and we're us.
So why hold to their symbols?
What I mean is those up in their towers have willfully ignored the home of the elves.
Yet they claim the same lineage.
Yes. Anyone can claim a lineage, and truly they are our brothers. That doesn't mean I can't think that they've gone astray. Anyway, that isn't important. What is important is that a lot of that wyvern meat is gone, and I was planning on having some.
Yes, well, the meat, as long as some of the meat is still there, we should be fine in terms of supplies, but I'm more concerned about the actual components, not the tenderloin.
Are you sure it's really good?
Yes, it's very good.
Honestly, before that big rant, I was about to say that you were really starting to live up to the image of your people.
That would have inspired a much longer rant.
Oopsie daisy.
Hunting down your prey, utilizing all of the parts, showing proper respect, and now wearing the proper attire.
Did you see how I killed the wyvern?
Yes.
Oh, does that count as proper respect? I stabbed its own horn through its eye.
Yes.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention in the
proper... Nature isn't pretty. What, are you stupid?
When is the last time you went on a hunt with my clan?
With your clan? Which clan is it?
Which clan is it? Fuck, I don't remember. It's been like a year. Did we ever actually say what the fuck my clan name was?
No. I'm assuming your last name would do just fine.
Yeah, let's just go with that. Do we really want to get into elf sociology now? Because, like, does last name count as clan or is it separate? Because
yes.
But last Both, name is a of. Little different because if we're talking lineage versus clan, there's a difference there.
It's close enough.
Fuck it, fine.
They would know their common last names within the clans.
Right. Yes, well, given my last name being Adelhelm, maybe you're not familiar, but there's a lot more...
Oh, no, I am.
Yes, there's a lot more poetry and a lot less inquiry.
Everyone's better at something than someone else. Everyone has their own role.
I'm not sure poetry has a role.
Everyone has
anywhere.
Their own calling. I think it can be nice when kept short.
Ah, you're obviously not that familiar.
Hmm.
No, I am. It can be nice when kept short.
I think we might have more to agree on than we first thought.
See?
Let's go make some tenderloin.
All right, you go off to cook some delicious wyvern steak.
Yeah. If we have... Actually, well, I'm not going to eat part. I mean, I was going to say, like, we've got fungus, but I don't really think I want to eat specky or bits.
Yeah, no, that's a bad idea.
I mean, I already have toxoplasmosis, so, you know.
I mean, if we got cheese, we can make blue cheese.
No, on steak?
No, I'm just saying it's like a separate thing.
Okay, I was going to say...
I don't even think you make a steak out of a wyvern. We've been talking about wyvern meat for about 45 minutes now.
I mean, I think it's probably pretty good. Have you ever... Look at Monster Hunter. Look at the meat that they have in that.
Get your stupid dungeon meshy Monster Hunter garbage out of here.
No.
So, Patton.
That's me.
As as things are starting to settle down a bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a perception check.
Sure thing, buddy. That's 26.
26?
Yep.
Okay, on a 26, you notice there's one more thing left in that box.
Ooh.
You catch something out of the corner of your eye. The vial kind of reacts and pulls towards the box a little bit.
Hmm. All right, what's in this box?
What's in the box? Right.
So you feel the flask start to glow, like to feel warm a bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like your new fun flask. As on the underside of the lid of this box, you see four small, what look kind of like USB sticks. Except the connector is the universal adapter for the thing that goes into the back of your neck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't like that.
I remember these things.
Yeah.
Are they? Do they have a particular label on each one, or is it just four?
Entirely unlabeled.
All right, I'm going to grab
Run
a handful
that EXE.
I'm going to grab all four.
Yeah. There are four of them. Yep.
All right. Patton's going to think about it. Think about, like, trying to put it into a computer and see what it is first, and then decide that's too much effort and just kind of slot one right in.
Okay. So you slot it right in, your vision goes black for a second, and then you just see a loading bar. It says 1 out of 4.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I thought.
User detected 1 out of 4.
Again with these 1 out of 4s. Just like Tenali. Makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go ahead and show it off to each one of you guys there. Tell you guys that I found it in that box.
I don't like this.
Absolutely not. Find a computer, do some research before you plug in strange... Does Red even know he sent those? In fact, call Red.
I assume so.
No, before you do anything, call Red. They were in the box, right?
Yeah.
Here's the walkie-talkie.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and I'll dial up Red then real quick.
This doesn't have to be a year-long mystery. They were in the box.
Hello, did you find Emily? I've been trying to get in touch with her, and I haven't been able to find her. Where is she? Do you know?
She was off on a turboprop-looking contraption with the chair.
Was it a chair attached to a parachute?
It was a
with
chair
some
attached
sort of...
to a parachute.
I told her not to do that.
That's a chair-a-chute.
Look.
I also told her not to do that.
Well, there's really not much we can do about it at this point. Anyway, Patton had a question for you.
So I noticed at the very bottom of the box here, and after he took everything else out, there were these four little universal sticks.
Uh-huh.
I'm assuming those were part of your original shipment there?
Absolutely not. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Whoops.
Well, there we go. Never touched those.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what Red wants to hear. Hey, so we found these weird USB sticks in your box, and I kind of used one. That was on purpose, right? No, what are you talking about? Oh, shit.
So,
please tell me, is there anything defining on these?
Absolutely not. They are incredibly generic.
That's terrifying.
It also says, that it requires all four... Now, there was one person in the group who was a little bit impulsive there and may have activated one of them, and it said to activate all four.
I'm assuming
at once.
That person is you.
It was Patton.
I will not confirm or deny.
Well, considering nobody else could really see that, right? And describe what it looks like. Yeah. My recommendation would be to plug in.
I'm sorry, what?
You're not going to figure out what they are not doing that, are you?
No, it could be a virus. It could be some sort of sabotage by Michael. We have no idea. How did it even get in the box that you sent to us?
Sabotage by Michael? Is that... I'm sorry, are you serious?
I'm pontificating. We have no idea what these things are.
It sounds to me... like they might be related to one of those things that I was interested in investigating.
I'm sorry, are we playing a deliberately vague game here?
Remember how you told me about that strange facility that you were in?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, this might be related to that, and if it is, I'd like to know.
Yes, but if it is related to that strange facility, and it's dangerous, I'd like to not die.
Once you figure out where they came from, I think we'll consider this again. But until we know who gave them to us, I don't think it's a very safe play. All
right, so what I want to check is, it seems a little bit, like, weird for Red to make edge. Go for it, whatever. I want to roll an insight check just to make sure that, like, we're not getting, like, someone... Like, when we dialed Red, that his signal didn't get, like, hijacked here and someone's, like, playing us.
Sure.
Alright,
yeah,
so
I'll roll insight too.
It's normally 7, but I got my ESP medallion, so plus 9. That's an 11.
I rolled a 26. No.
26?
Yeah, I rolled a 26.
Okay.
19
on
the die.
On a 26? Nice. On a 26, you're going to notice some slight cracks.
In what? In Red's voice or in the
yes.
Cracks of what? Like scared?
You're not quite sure, but it doesn't sound exactly like him.
And it's not like radio static.
Yeah. And in terms of things, it does seem like the voice is being fairly assertive. Like, it seems like the voice's goal is to get you to plug these things in.
Hmm.
But it doesn't seem malicious.
But it's... Am I getting the feeling that that what we're talking to is not Red?
Yes. However, you get the feeling that what you are talking to is not Red, but also not malicious.
Well, that doesn't make me feel better. Wait, okay, so I've got the feeling that this is not Red. So, hold on. Let me think of something real quick.
Gotta point to like a red square and just draw a big X with your finger across it.
Well, I mean, I know, I'm going to take out the dagger.
Okay.
I can't be
just so you know it's already been used today.
But don't kill my vibe here.
It's out of juice.
Patton's got that thing that lets me use dailies again, though, right?
I mean, you could maybe jerry-rig something else.
Yeah, impart energy, recharge a daily item.
Give me that.
You're handing Patton the knife, you fool.
No. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say, okay, Red, hold on just one second. I think we found something else attached to the box.
I'll put him on mute.
And, yeah, not on mute, but just one second. And then I'm going to pantomime to Patton, like, pointing at the knife that I... Because he's used that daily item recharge thing before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, so I'm going like, come on, I need you to get this thing to work again. I can't...
Elven hand motions.
I can't get this... Hold on, it's stuck. I can't open it. Patton, can you give me a hand in getting this to open?
Sure thing, I'll take the knife and I'll kind of like... twist it around in my fingers, looking at it, examining it. And then, let's see here. Along the blade's edge, does it look like there's, like, anything that would normally be there that's, like... Is there, like, a thin line of some kind of goop that's normally on it?
Pretty much. More or less. Like, it was sort of glowing red, and now it's sort of this dim red...
Alright, I'm going to try this here. I'm going to go ahead and take the goop from my flask and see if I can run it along the edge of the knife.
What did you use to recharge that daily thing before?
Well, the ability is normally, it's augment energy is when I do work, is at +2. Impart energy is just recharging a daily magic item.
Yes. So, the way that the recharge daily item thing works by raw is impart energy. You begin each day with the ability to empower a magic item and you gain one additional arcane empowerment for each milestone you reach. So you can empower an item in two ways. You can recharge the daily power of a magic item or you can augment energy. Today, you have not declared an augment energy, I believe, so you just have that floating.
Yep, so I'm going to use that impart energy instead.
So, generally speaking, this is just you having, like, extra juice.
Yeah.
You got some juice around. The goop thing, if you attempt to pour the goop out of the flask, it goes straight back violently into the flask.
Okay, yeah.
So just take a look at this thing and then figure out the best way to charge it back up with mana, basically.
Yeah,
remember, so it's old as shit.
Make it juicy. Yeah, that's right, because that's classic, like, old world shit.
Yeah, so cut your finger on it.
Ancient.
Cut your finger on it. Give it some blood.
Here, Elias, why don't you cut your finger on it?
I mean, if you think that will work. I'll prick my finger with the blade and then give it to Patton to charge.
Yeah, it sinks through, like, a lot.
Okay.
Does not feel good.
Yeah, because one of us has a perfectly good hand he can cut. The other one would have to cut his gloves and turn it into a hole.
Is there any blood on the blade from that?
There is not any blood on the blade. However, Patton does feel when he's holding the handle of the blade, you know, you get a good feel for how this thing works, right? Mm-hmm. And after doing that, you know, you feel like you could maybe siphon a little bit of Elias's mana to just give this thing a quick little jolt.
Okay. Anyway, I'll go ahead
so,
and,
you know, maybe hook up something real quick to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little transfer apparatus.
Holding one hand with the speakerphone, the other one me and little bro putting it together.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't take much time at all. You can just get little bro to, you know, like, put one end on the thing, put one end onto Elias, quick press, you know, couple of needle shooting.
Yeah. You know, I call the whole setup Dr. Patton's patent-pending ritualistic rigor.
Fucking hell.
How do you do this so fast?
Don't worry about it.
But yeah, it is like a quick ritual, basically. You're just skipping a lot of steps.
But yeah, it's not going to last for very long. So,
yeah. But recharge.
Now that it's recharged, I'm going to say, okay, Red, yeah, 1 second. Oh, yeah, we did just get this open. I'm going to move over. I'll open Patton. Just step back for a second. Yeah, let me get this open. And I'm going to quickly plunge the knife into the side of the wall. And what I want to do is I'm going to open it, and then I'm going to close this thing behind me.
Okay.
And I'm bringing in the radio.
Okay.
My hunch here is that this is connected to... I can't be affected by anything inside here, right?
Correct.
Which means that if it's something in the radio, then it can't affect anybody else but us two in here. And if it's something not in the radio, then I'll know immediately because it'll stop.
Yes.
Right. So now that I'm in the room and the door is closed, I'm going to say, Red, are you there?
Yes.
Right. So that's horrifying. Because that means that it's either in the radio or in my own head. Can I roll to see, is that a rollable thing, like insight on that?
Yeah, sure. Give me a perception check.
Perception? Okay. That is 22. Oh, no, okay, not 22. Sorry, 28.
Okay, 28?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's someone behind you.
What, behind me?
Yes.
I'm going to turn around quickly.
Is it me?
You're going to turn around quickly?
Yeah.
Do you remember that woman that you saw?
Oh, great. The interceptors are in my eyes, too.
Yeah.
Is it the human
She's
lady?
Floating right there. Looks at you. Looks down at the radio. Smiles,
mm-hmm.
Then just reaches her hand out, touches the side of your face,
mm-hmm.
Nods,
mm-hmm.
And starts moving her mouth, but you can't hear her. On that 28, though, you can read the lips.
Okay.
And it just says, please help us.
Oh, okay. What? I don't know what the fuck's going on with this.
And then she closes her eyes. And she's gone.
Right, so that's something completely different. And what's the radio doing now?
The radio went silent for a little bit. And now you just hear static.
Well, I think that's a good place to end this episode.
Yeah.
I don't like any of this.
I was expecting you guys to be idiots, just plug in.
I'm not gonna do that.
I wasn't gonna do that.
We've played Deus Ex Human Revolution, buddy.
Yeah, buddy, old pal.
I haven't.
No, even just like, don't hand me a USB stick. Hey, plug this into something. I'm not going to. It's spooky.
Your brains are gonna get zip bombed.
So we've got two people in the party. Two people in the party. Have compromised the integrity of the party. One of them by sticking a USB in there, and the other one's got cat fungus in his brain.
You can't prove
yes.
That.
You can't prove that I put that USB in there, can you?
I absolutely can.
You know what I can prove? That was Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons real play podcast.
Episode...
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
My name's Ted, play Patton. Do another podcast called Let Me Tell You About on Twitter at Let Me Tell You PD. Also a Discord. There's a Patreon. Dan and Michael do streams at bro_operatives on Twitch. Tim is Tim And sure am. Matt does a sports ball podcast. What's that one called again, Matt?
It's called The Sweet Life of Matt and Cody, and we'll be hitting you with the new hot NFL gambling lines, because gambling's legal now, folks. We'll make you some money.
No, what? Don't you advertise can't say that. You literally can't advertise
you
that.
You can't do that.
Gambling is
what
legal
mean?
Now.
It is.
So you can't say, we'll make you some money, because then you're culpable.
Yeah, you literally can't say
you're
that.
Genghis.
Bet your mortgage, folks.
See, now it falls under
Jerry,
parody,
stop.
So you're fine.
Bet your mortgage. Revival at Dungeons & Dragons Real Play Podcast.